All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to WBH Radio. I am your host, William Holly. I have a very special guest joining me today. He's a boxing trainer out of Brooklyn, New York, proud member of the Guzman Academy 507, Francisco Guzman Jr., a.k.a. Chico. ¿Qué lo que?
¿Qué lo que?
¿Qué pasa, amigo? ¿Qué hace? ¿Cómo está?
¿Qué so far?
Chico, what's good, brother?
Chilling, brother.
How are you?
Oh, man. Blessed, man.
I appreciate you joining me here. I wanted to give you the introduction, like, yo, this is the best boxer trainer in the world.
Nah, not yet. Not yet. Not yet.
I ain't want to get the people.
Nah, not there. We not there yet. We working.
I ain't want to get the people mad at you.
No. We working. Everybody that knows me in boxing, man, know that I'm a straight shooter, man. I'm the same person they met 10 years ago. I'm the same person to this day. I'm always smiling. I'm always good. Because at the end of the day, problems are going to be problems. But God is always in my side, so I walk with God, man. Everything is possible. So,
yes, sir. Now, you say you're working, you're on your way. And that's one thing I want to ask you. What makes a good boxing trainer? Because, Chico, I look and I see some of these fights. You see the guys that are up in their fighter's face. You see guys that are more reserved. Is it about the work that's done in the gym? Is it about the work that's done in the ring? I look at Freddie Roach. This is a man that's compromised by Parkinson's, yet he is at the top of the game.
Amazing trainer, Freddie Roach. You got to understand, man, for us to be great trainers, you got to have that dancing partner, a great fighter.
Okay.
So, and sometimes the fighters are good and they become great because they have chemistry with their trainers. The thing is that there's not just one good trainer. Because there's many great fighters out there right now fighting. So it's sometimes when you say train of the year, you got to know, you know why they do that, because they do it because the guy had a good year. All his fighters won and stuff like that. But you got a lot of trainers that should be train of the year. They take kids from amateurs to the pros to world championship. And some of them don't get their accolade, but we peers, we know who they are.
Copy.
You know what I'm saying? And we tell them thank you, because without them, this sport would be dead.
Okay. How would you define your style, your approach? Like, what would you say is your contribution to a fighter?
Oh, I try to enhance everything they have, not try to take away from them. Because let's say if I fought a way and I was a knockout artist, that don't mean that a fighter that I trained could be a knockout artist. Right. He might not have the power I have, but he has the skills. So you nourish those skills, you nourish everything. You grab that, you teach them more, you enhance that, and they become better and better and better. Mm-hmm. There are many fighters out here in the world that don't got no power, that had no power and became double world champion. Paulie Malignaggi, right out of Bensinghurst, Brooklyn. Everybody thought he only had one hand, but two-time world champions. And then you got these guys that are knockout artists that never became world champion. Mm-hmm. So then you'll be like, oh, okay, the game is not called knockout. The game is called boxing. Mm-hmm. The art of hitting and not trying to get hit back.
Gotcha.
So if you teach a fighter that and the work ethic, they got to put all the work, man. They got to run. They got to. It's a lonely man sport, man. Because when me and you are outside chilling and dancing, they home sleeping because they got to get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to run to put this work and everything. After the work is done, they play a little bit, but they go right back to that same routine over and over and over again. So you got to look at them and give them some type of props, because I don't know how many people could be that disciplined to go do it all over and over again.
For sure, man. Fighters are special. Lonely man sport, well, I never heard that, but indeed it is. Indeed it is. When you see some of them guys on that road by themselves early in the morning. As a trainer, would you say, and you mentioned that you might have been a knockout artist, but your fighter isn't, so you have to help develop those skills. Would you say that your style can change based on who you're training?
Yeah, your style could change. Because trainers got, every trainer got something to bring, right? Mm-hmm. A trainer might teach you your jab is better. Another trainer might teach you because he know how to throw a right hand, teach you how to throw a right hand better. Your right hand became way better when you got to that trainer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every trainer can enhance a fighter. You know, It depends also on the fighter. Like I said, a dancing partner has to be a person that believes in you, and you got to believe in him. The chemistry has to be right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When we walk to the ring, if you notice something, me and C is always walking to every ring. What's the thing that you notice when we walk into the ring?
I don't know, man.
We always smiling. They asked me that the last time. Why you guys smile? I said, because this is party time now.
This party time?
It's party time. Let's have fun. Because all the problems already passed. The 9 weeks in the gym, training every day, getting agitated with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And the people don't see those parts.
Right.
You see, 24/7 going to show you the good parts, and maybe a little bit, but they don't show you the parts when we are going at each other and this and that. And people outside might be looking in and be like, yo, they hate. No, no, no. The fight already started. From the time we signed on the dotted line for a fight, the fight already started. So we already fighting from the gym.
That's the process it takes to get
to
the ring.
That's the process. So when we go to the ring.
It's not always pretty?
Yeah. No, it's not always pretty. It's mm-hmm. not pretty at all.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in the camp where I could tell you, oh, the camp been great. Trust me. Oh, we did the work. But, oh, it been pretty. No. Hell no. We've been arguing, curse each other out. I mean, left the gym, don't talk to each other for 2 days, but be in the gym the next day and don't talk to each other. Don't talk to each other at all.
Right.
We still train, do what it is. Talks to my dad, talks to the other coach, Mitch, and don't say nothing to me. And leave, 2 days have passed, and but we working.
Right.
We in each other's heads, you know.
Pressure bust pipes, but it also make diamonds.
Oh, of course.
Right. And that process isn't always easy, man. Let's talk about some in-ring action. Chico, recently, my favorite boxer of all time, Floyd Money Mayweather, made his return. The Money Team, TBE, the best ever. Now, you can say what you want about Mayweather, but 50 men have tried.
They all lost.
And 50 men have failed. And He's just a show. From the minute he walks to the ring, Chico, the last fight, who'd he come out with? Money Bag, yo. I just looked at my wrist. I got time today. I'm crossing the line today.
You know.
How was it seeing Money Mayweather back in the ring?
Mayweather's a great one, man. He's teaching these guys that your worth is worth. Like, if you put the work in, they have to pay you.
Yes, sir.
If you demand and you have the following and everything, man. You ever play video games and you find that cheap code?
Yes.
And nobody could whip your ass?
Yeah.
Mayweather found that cheap code, the way he could whip everybody's ass and taking money away from them. Without robbing them, without putting a gun in their head, he's robbing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
To come back to win $100 million with a guy that's a YouTuber. But think about it. It's not Mayweather fans. It's a YouTuber that has 3 million, 4 million followers. That in their mind, oh, they love him so much. Oh, he could beat Mayweather. And Mayweather using the cheat code to himself. I bet you he can.
Mm-hmm.
How much you willing to pay me? That I bet you he can.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million. Huh? Easy money.
So for you as a boxing purist, did you enjoy seeing the champ back in the ring?
Of course. As a person that loved boxing and stuff like that, I enjoyed it. It was for what it was, you know what I'm saying? It's a exhibition, whatever way. But seeing the champ coming back out the tunnels again, you know.
It's amazing.
It's
like,
amazing to see that he's 40-something years old, still has the dedication and determination, like you always say. Nobody has it like him.
Now, as a boxing purist, how did you feel about his quality of opponent? As you mentioned, it's a YouTuber, not a professional boxer.
Let's call it for what it was. It's an exhibition. Mm-hmm. So he could have fought me for an exhibition. He could have fought what you call Donald Robert, whoever he could want to fight. He could fight whoever. It's an exhibition.
What about the people that say, yo, he's making a mockery of the sport?
He's not making a mockery of the sport. He is the sport. How could he be making a mockery of the sport? You going to tell a man that he got to say no to $100 million? Because he's making a mockery of what sport? His mockery of the sport was making money.
But Chico, he could have put somebody in that position, a real fighter, somebody that's been working the craft that would have capitalized off of that spotlight.
Okay, I tell you, Mayweather's been out of boxing. Mayweather comes back to boxing to fight me, it's not going to make that much noise because I don't have followers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have 200 followers, 2 million followers, 3 million followers that believe that I could beat him.
Mm-hmm.
He has haters that gonna hope that I could beat him. But 90% of the time, I'm going to lose because that is the best one. Mm-hmm. He asked the cheat code. He's taking money away from everybody. He came in with a mask. The fight with, what's his name?
Conor McGregor.
That was telling y'all guys, I'm robbing y'all.
It's a stick-up.
It's a stick-up without a gun. Dude, being a person team like that to make money out of nothing, let's be for real, bro. Mm-hmm. That is the point we're doing this for. If my cousin could get to a point where he could fight him, and make $1 million fighting nobody, I don't care what nobody says.
What do you think about Mayweather's inability to knock him out?
Did Mayweather want to knock him out? The guy is way bigger than Mayweather.
Like, he had 30 pounds on him.
30, 40 pounds on him.
Yeah, I saw people use that as evidence. Oh, Mayweather's not the guy because he couldn't knock him out. I'm like, he's in the ring with somebody who's 30 pounds heavier than him. That right there is the greatness.
Let's get one thing out the way. It's an exhibition. It's not real in his what you call it, record. It's not going in his record. You go look, the record's not there. It's an exhibition. If that was going in his record, he would not let that boy last 8 rounds. As we can see, he could have done whatever he wanted to that kid. But it's an exhibition. If he gets another exhibition with somebody, let's say De La Hoya wants to come back, and he gets an exhibition with Mayweather. What do you think Mayweather's getting paid in that exhibition?
Big time.
Everybody wants to see that again. Two old school players doing it again one more time. Let's see who's better now at this age. Right. Give him $100 million again. You know why? Because people are going to pay $100 for pay-per-view.
I'm going to be there every time he walks to the ring. Every time he walks to the ring.
Guess what? You want to pay the $100? You've been paying 50 fights. Let's say
25.
20 of them, 20 of them things is pay-per-view. You gave $100 for 20 of them things. Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you did. I did.
Yeah.
And am I mad? No. Hey, God bless my brother. Keep doing your thing. He has a family to feed, man.
Okay.
He just showed us, the people that are coming up, that no one can stick a finger on us if we don't allow them. Because mm-hmm. we the fighters. It's no business without the fighter. It's all these fighters turn around and tell the promoters, you know how many promoters would really be on the hills like, yo, okay, whatever. Because at the end of the day, it's boxing. That promotion is boxing.
So why haven't some of the fighters been able to take that Mayweather blueprint and they all get $100 million?
Because you have, this is a game that, man, it's a dirty game, man. Mm-hmm. It's a dirty game. There's a person that want everybody looking out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants $20 million now. If they're going to give Will, for example, they're going to give you $25 million now. But you're not your promoter. Your promoter is Willie, whatever. And I come up to him and say, yo, I got $20 million for him to fight my fighter. Your promoter goes to you and tell you, there's $10 million to fight my fighter. My business is not with you. My business is with the promoter.
Yes.
As the promoter go and tell you $10 million, and you find out later, you can't be mad at me. You got to be mad at your promoter.
Right.
How many promoters have been doing this? But this is the game that people signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I find it interesting that these fighters haven't been able to take the blueprint and run. Yeah. Like, it's right here in our lifetime.
What's the blueprint? To make the money?
To be fearless.
To
give a middle finger to the promoter.
No, but to give a middle finger to the promoter, then you gotta live like he did.
And how was that?
Dedication to the T.
Ah.
How many of them guys gonna do that?
You're right. So he laid the blueprint not only in his dealing with the promoters, but in his way of life. A lot of people ain't make it that way. Adrian Broner is in
the. No. Even to copy somebody, you gotta be smart. And all of them wanna copy Mayweather, but they can't be Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
They drinking. He's not drinking. Mm-hmm. They going to a bar or the club and they all leaving like this. He's leaving running out the club.
Sure.
He just wanted to go to the club because he wanted to be seen. He wanted to see people chill.
Right.
But he leaves the club, and they close and go running.
Yeah.
So his dedication was to himself and to his family and to his craft, because at the end of the day, this is what made him rich. This is what made him TBE. This is what made him the money man. This is what makes him, as soon as you call him, it's about a check. How many fighters could say that? Canelo?
Yeah.
Other than that, who else? No one. We got what? Canelo saw the blueprint and everything.
Yeah.
The training, the movement, the defense. What do you think he learned from? The best thing that ever happened to Canelo was losing to the best.
Money team.
Because nobody even talk about that loss. Because
mm-hmm.
when you lose to the best, you lose to the best.
That's it.
If I go in a pickup game and lose and beat everybody and lose to Michael Jordan, nobody going to talk about that. You know why? Because that's Jordan.
Yeah.
But I beat everybody else. Canelo, hey, look, I'm Canelo. Nobody like, hey, but you didn't beat Mayweather. Hey, it's okay. He's TBE. How much he made for his signing with Showtime? $275 million, $300 million. How much I did with my signing with DAZN? $365 million. So, did he beat me and I didn't learn nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he beat me and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I'm my own boss now because the boss showed me how to do it.
Man.
And that's what Mayweather is.
And we seen, like I mentioned, Adrian Broner try to follow that path. That's why I like Mayweather being at the top of the sport, because he shows you that you could be flashy, but there's still a level of professionalism assigned to him.
Wow.
That's second to none.
None.
Broner didn't want to do rap albums and do porn tapes. He didn't make it. Gervonta Davis is interesting because he is under that Mayweather promotion. And keep in mind, I'm just a casual fan. So I'm looking, all right, Gervonta Davis is next. And I remember there was a fight a few years ago, everybody's excited, and he ain't make weight.
Okay.
It was a championship bout. Chico, the lights is here, and you ain't ready. And ever since then, I kind of been off the bandwagon. Like,
listen, I'm a Gervonta fan. He's good for boxing. The fallout that he did with the weights and stuff like a few years back.
Whatever. It was a championship fight. He didn't make weight.
He didn't make weight. Okay.
So that means the belt weren't up for...
No more. Only the person that made the weight could win the fight.
Yes.
Even if he wins the fight, he doesn't get the belt. Only the person that made weight.
Yeah.
And if he wins, he wins the belt. So, okay. Young guy. Mm-hmm. How old is he now? Like 25, 26?
Mm-hmm.
What were you talking? 21, 20, 22 years old? Young boy. Come from nothing. You give him all the millions of dollars, all that stuff. You need some guidance. Sometimes without guidance, you get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got there, but now it's how to keep it. Some of them don't have that person or that, not a yes man around to tell them, no, we ain't doing that, you doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that he had was Mayweather. Mayweather told him, look, see what this happens? Because you live there. Know what this happened? Because you do this. You want to be the top? I'll make you a pay-per-view fighter, but you got to listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta walk. I can tell you. Trust me. I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that's doing it. I'm your promoter. Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to follow you. Where he's at right now? 2 pay-per-views. Doing great because he followed a great one. Great one said move to Las Vegas. He moved to Vegas. You're not going to listen to the great one?
Of course.
And you down with the great one?
Of course.
Oh, don't worry about that. You didn't make weight. I'm still here for you. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to listen to me. And what he did, he listened. Mm-hmm. And now he's a hell of a fighter. Let's be for real, man. The kid is good, man.
Yes.
Kid is good for boxing. He's good. I like the kid.
Let's go back to you as a trainer. You are training your cousin, Cesar Raymond, Francis. You have a bunch of other fighters coming through the ranks. How do you keep them focused in this day and age with social media, with everybody out partying, hanging out? How do you keep them in line? It could be easier for Mayweather because
he's
the best. He got the garage full of cars. But at your level, how do you keep their attention?
I keep their attention. I keep them grounded and let them know that it's an objective. We got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's family to feed.
Mm-hmm.
See, we put that on our backs. See, me and my cousin by mother and mothers.
Your mothers and sisters. Mothers,
they sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is beyond boxing. This is talks that we don't have closed doors.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, we got to buy them houses in Panama. we got to make sure mama and pa and mama sit down for at least the rest of 20 years just with grandkids.
Yeah.
And parlay on behalf of our work. You know why? Because they did it for us.
They did.
You know what I'm saying? The best they can. And I'm going to tell you the truth, man. They took us out of Panama. We'd have been in Panama. No, what could have happened? The way I was here in Panama. Ooh.
The way you were here, Hunch. You was in them streets, Chico.
Oh, man. you know, that's a different, but my mama.
Good thing you cleaned it up.
Yeah, my mom and my dad always been people that always told me things in my face that I never understood then, but I understand now. It's a grown man, it's a parent coming up. I understood. My mother used to always tell me something in Spanish. Dime con quién andas, te diré quién tú eres. Let me know where you're walking, where I'll let you know who you are.
Copy.
So if I walk with a bunch of drug dealers, what I was?
Drug dealer.
If I walk with a bunch of trainers, what I am?
Boxing trainer.
So it's that easy. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people tell us, yo, are you keeping granted? That question came up, are you keeping him like that? I said, nah, he keeps himself like that. He sees his mother get up every 4 o'clock in the morning, take that bus to Brooklyn from Jersey to go work, bust her ass that she been doing all her life for him and her, his brothers and sisters. It's time for her to sit her ass down and let him bust his ass for a minute.
Copy.
So that's what we've been doing. We've been, oh, this talk been coming since we've been talking about this, and it's coming, you know, for intuition. And God is great, you know what I'm saying? We always say, everybody always asks us, why you guys ask? I say, yo, listen, man, there's no better time than God's time, man.
Right.
If we're gonna get there, we're gonna get there regardless of what. You can't rewrite what God got for us already.
Right. I don't wanna skip over Logan Paul, Jake Paul. I walked into the gym recently, and Chico, you weren't too happy with kind of their space at the sport. Is that fair? They taking opportunities from real fighters.
They're not taking opportunity from real fighters. What it is that promoters are looking for the, and TV are looking for their best interest, which is money. There's a lot of fighters out there coming up, young boys.
So how do you feel about that? Is that just capitalism? Are they taking over your sport? Because I go back to when you were on this podcast the first time. It was just after Mike Tyson had made his return. He fought Roy Jones. If you remember on the undercard, Jake Paul
fought
Nate Robinson. And he knocked him out. And I couldn't wait to ask you, hey, Chico, how do you feel about this? And if I remember correctly, the sentiments were, hey, Jake Paul is respecting the craft.
He's going to the gym and work out and sparring and doing everything a boxer is doing. He's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's videos out there that the guy's getting beat up and sparring. He's working and he's doing it. But he created something for himself in an era where social media is at.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to give him props for that. He created, before he even took off on boxing, he created this image on YouTube as a YouTuber or whatever.
Yes.
And everybody follow him.
Yes, sir.
So he has 3 million followers that loves him.
Yep.
What's the Kardashian sister, the young one?
The Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner.
One of them got like a makeup or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She has 5 or 8 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
She start boxing tomorrow, go to a fight. What do you think is going to happen?
The fans will be there.
Of course, because she has 8 million followers that love her, no matter what. She created that for herself already.
Right.
So if I got a box out here.
No, I understand that, Chico. I just wonder how do the fighters, the guys that are, the no-name guys that are in the gym, that are grinding, running, hoping for the opportunity to step in a ring with somebody like Floyd Mayweather, and then Logan Paul comes from the internet and gets that opportunity. Like, how does that feel? What's going on?
Some people mouthpiece is better than others.
Okay.
And believe it or not, how many fighters out here that you've been in the gym with us that are good?
Big
time.
But
nobody knows them. You know why? Because they have no mouthpiece.
Yeah.
They have none of this. Some of these fighters, you tell them you'll go see my man Will, they think they're bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
My man, you only got 2,000 followers. You better take your ass to Will and go do an interview and start putting those things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. See, Jake Paul right now wants to be in boxing so bad that if we talking about boxing, and I tell somebody that knows Jake Paul, we doing an interview, he'll come here just because he wants your fans to.
Yeah.
He's smart in that part. I tell everybody, this right here.
The phone.
This right here is powerful nowadays. People just like this and not paying attention. This, you could record everything you do, put it somewhere to record every content that you're doing, put it out there. People start following.
Mm-hmm.
People follow you.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if fighters feel pressure now to maybe resort to antics? Because I've always liked boxing because to me it was like warrior, that we're gonna go to battle, but there was respect. That's why I always like the face off. You know, to me, that's like the samurai, the soldier. I'm not reckless. I am a disciplined, trained warrior.
School against school, teachers against teachers, boxer against boxer.
Right. So you see Jake Paul snatch Mayweather's hat during some press run. I got your hat. He went running off. And that gets covered. So Gervonta Davis' last fight, when they did the face off, Gervonta Davis touched his opponent's belt. That ain't the boxing I know. So I wonder, do legit boxers feel pressure now to resort to the antics to maybe get that viral moment?
I believe so, because at the end of the day, you want to be seen.
Right.
How many kids out here know Giannis?
Giannis Antetokounmpo, the basketball player? The
basketball player. A lot.
A lot?
But how many do watch him play? Not that many, if they're not into basketball like that.
Right.
Not many watch, but they know his name.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us knew Jordan without even knowing basketball?
A lot.
A lot, because you hear it from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm walking down the street and I go, yo, that fucking podcast Will, wow, that guy's amazing. And then I'm walking somewhere else and someone, that fucking podcast Will, wow, amazing.
Right.
And I go somewhere else. You watch that podcast with Will? The guy named Will, yo, that podcast is crazy. Now, three people done told me. Three different minds
right.
done told me that Will podcast is good. Now I go check it. Wow, Will podcast is great.
Mm-hmm.
I go tell two other people. They go watch it.
Right.
How many fighters can you go see in YouTube that you go tell somebody, go see? Because they don't even got content in YouTube.
Right.
They don't got content in nothing. If they're not winning fights, they don't put nothing out. They're not even putting nothing out when they're not even fighting. They're not in the gym putting something out, being in the public's eye all the time. That's where boxing falls short a little bit of all these other sports.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see no poster, no fighters. The last poster we saw of a fighter in New York and big was Zab Judah. Downtown when you was going to the bridge.
Right. So how do you feel, Cheeks? Your sport going into the WWE kind of realm? That ain't what we grew up on. No,
that's not what we grew up on, but
like as a fan, when I saw Javon, and it wasn't nothing crazy. He just touched the belt. Like, nah, I got you. Like, hold on, that ain't. Them brothers used to come face to face, and I will see you tomorrow, and that's all I needed.
You see, with the era, everything changes. We were spoiled to what people call real rap.
Like Jake Paul taking Mayweather's hat, that ain't cool. No, that's not cool.
I'm gonna give you an example. We come from the era where guys like us, our age, would be like, oh, we come from, telling these young guys, we come from the era when real rap, when rap is, and I'm like, what's real rap?
Okay.
Rap is rap, right?
Right.
These young boys are nice. Dirt, Little Baby, all these guys are nice. But we don't give them a chance
because
we so used to what we like.
Okay.
And we don't sit down and listen to Dirk or listen to Baby and be like, oh, these young men have talent too.
Mm-hmm.
So with the era, everything changes.
Copy.
We went from face off, respecting each other, to I do like that whatever went on between the Charlo this weekend, right? They fought Saturday. Charlo and Brian Castagna from Argentina. And they got into a real bad verbal thing at the weigh-in. Their brother and Brian manager, they was going to go at it. They had to step in. By the end of the fight, the two warriors gave each other pound.
For sure.
Manager apologized, gave each other. Because at the end of the day, it's a gentleman's sport, man.
Yes, sir.
We go in there, not trying to hurt each other. We're trying to hurt each other, but everybody to go back home to their family.
Yes.
Because everybody's doing it for a reason, man. You know what I'm saying? You jumping in that square circle, man. Look, we fought in February 20 in Orlando, and we got caught a knockout in 42 seconds. I went to the locker room and sat down with the opponent because he was sitting down there just to make sure he was okay, like for 15 minutes, talking to him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, shit, no trainer ever did this. I'm not saying I'm not every trainer. I'm here because at the end of the day, the same way you walked in, I want you to leave. Yeah, you lost. But who am I to be like, oh, you know, it's still a sport, brother.
Yeah.
Because with all those guys to give us those wins, where will we be in sport?
Right.
So you got to respect everybody.
Everybody. For sure. New era in the sport. I guess I got to get used to it here. I got to stop being a grumpy old man.
No, it's not grumpy old man. You like what you like, brother. Yeah. You like what you like, and you like what you used to see, but that's not the era no more.
That's
you
know not what I'm
saying? Even Tyson tried to change it a little bit.
Mike Tyson?
Yeah. Back in the days, like, a lot of people didn't understand when Tyson was screaming, I eat your kid.
Sure.
His mouthpiece is good, yeah. It sound good, but you as a fan, like, oh, man, I can't wait to get this fight because he literally want to beat this man up. And that's what it was. But now we're in the era where social media wins, man.
Yeah, you're right, Chico. Jake Paul grabbing Mayweather's hat is it's tamed compared to Mike Tyson getting up there yelling, I'm gonna eat your kids. But I got you. Looking forward to Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley. Two people that are not in the sport of boxing. Jake Paul, Tyrone Woodley is an MMA fighter. What you got, man? What you thinking about that contest taking place in August?
Once again, they making money for each
other. They making money.
They're making money.
Chico not hating at all, man. The brothers getting money.
They getting money. I'm not hating on none of that, man. Go do what you do. the day the promoters get tired, Jake Paul, and they put him there with a guy that's coming up, mm-hmm. and a guy really knocks him out, put him in 10th round or beats him up and everything. Then his fans are still loving him.
They're still
his fans still be like, oh, he's still winning the ring. He's still doing this thing. Because at the end of the day, they're your fans. They're going to rock with you regardless of what. You know what I'm saying?
That's a mature approach, Chico. I'm proud of you, man. Change is inevitable. Chico's not hating, man. Young fighters, get out there. Improve your mouthpiece. This is entertainment at the end of the day. Let's talk some real boxing. We were supposed to have Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3. The Tyson Fury camp had a COVID outbreak, so that fight is being pushed to October. What were you expecting from that third bout? Tyson Fury won both of the first two, right?
Yeah, I think one was a draw.
What were you expecting from this third contest?
Tyson Fury was going to be Tyson Fury, the boxer he is. The one that we really was looking forward to see different is Deontay Wilder, because he's the one that lost.
Mm-hmm.
He got stopped because his trainer stopped
him. Yeah.
I was mad at him for a minute.
Because mad at who? The trainer?
At Deontay Wilder. Not his trainer. I was mad at Deontay Wilder because as trainers, we go through a lot too. When they lose, we lose.
Yes, sir.
Everybody hates to lose. But in the context of sport, it's always got to be a winner or a loser. Or you get a draw.
Mm-hmm.
But if you work to win, you want to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he loses. His trainer is looking out for him. Jumps in the ring. Calls a fight. He's getting beat up. We saw it. We're not so used to seeing him getting hammered like that. Sometimes the trainer's got to save you for yourself. Because now I save you, and you still got to fight again in you. If I don't save you, you might not be good again because you got hit too much extra times that I allow as a trainer. As a trainer, we got to take measurements that are hard, and sometimes we'll pay for it. And the trainer pay for it, my brother, because what he did, oh, you sold me out. Oh, you scored the fight. I sold you out. You was getting beat up.
Yeah, Wilder said he was prepared to die on his shield and die in that ring. And his trainer said, no, I stopped the fight.
I stopped the fight because at the end of the day, like I say, man, as a trainer, I got kids, man. And I look at them guys, any guy, my cousin, any of these kids that I train, they put their trust in me. I'm like their father in that ring.
Yes, sir.
So if I see that this fight has no way of we winning and he's getting too much punishment, I don't care if he fired me. We stopping that fight. Because the same way we walked in, the same way we're going to walk out.
So Wilder was mad for a long time at his trainer.
For a long time. He let go of his trainer. He still got his other trainer.
He fired that trainer?
He fired the trainer. He got another trainer. Good trainer. And I think Deontay Wilder going to do great in this fight. Because I always thought Deontay Wilder was a good fighter. He could become a great fighter, so heavyweight could be one of the most dominant heavyweights out there. But he also has to learn that there's responsibility as a man in himself. He lost a fight. It was him and that man in that ring, not his trainer. Mm-hmm. Trainer saved him from being hurt. Now he gets a third fight for millions of dollars again, right? And then he said the trainer sold him out and stuff like that. But question, when the fighters are winning, the trainers are the best.
Right.
They get one loss. They got the haters. And you need a better trainer.
Yeah.
Huh? And you start believing that my trainer's not good enough. If you start believing that now, I was never good enough, period.
Sure.
Because when you was winning, I got the best trainer. You lost one time, it's, oh, man, fuck this guy. This guy don't know nothing. He sold me out. He don't know nothing.
Right.
And that part, Deontay Wilder has to, you know, an apology to the man. Because mm-hmm. the man didn't sell you out. The man was looking out for you. Like referees that stop fights. We as fans sometimes, like, oh, the fight was stopped too early. I said it many times. Oh, the fight was stopped too early. Then I sit down by myself, watch the fight one more time, and see the fighter when the referee stopped. Oh, no, it's good. It's good. Because mm-hmm. 2 years ago, we lost a good friend of mine, man. Patrick Day, bro. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. We came up in the amateurs with it. He was in a good fight. Now he wasn't taking that much punishment. He was fighting. Mm-hmm. Things happen. God's will. It's a hard sport. Mm-hmm. We lost a good kid. The sports lost an ambassador of respect, a person that embodied everything that you wanted in a fighter. And we lost him.
Yeah.
His trainer, Mr. Joe Higgins, was out of boxing for a minute. I was happy to see him in North Carolina when I went to North Carolina not too long ago for a tournament. And I got to see him down there. He's training the Marine team. Uh-huh. And when I saw him, it was big hug. We hugged like for 5 minutes. We spoke. And he was good. It was good to see him because all my coming up, I seen him in boxing, the amateur.
Yeah.
He lost his best fight. He lost his son. That was like his son.
Oh, I'm sure that was tough.
You know, that was tough. You don't want to train nobody else. Mm-hmm. But then he will be marking the kid's memory because how you met the kid. Y'all saved each other in boxing, with boxing. There's another Patrick Day out there that need to be saved and you need to be around mm-hmm. as a trainer. Yeah, it's a hard loss. Oh, we lost a good one, man.
Yeah. Copy. I forgot about Deontay Wilder saying those things about his trainer, saying he was prepared to die in a ring. That's pretty brutal. His trainer had to make that decision. Wilder was getting dominated in a way that we never saw. A story that came out was that he might have been drained because of the extravagant costume he wore to the ring. It had all types of lights and stuff, which was heavy, and it had batteries. What'd you think of that?
Deontay, you're cool. That's some bullshit.
No.
Pure bullshit.
Chico, let me tell you why I was happy when it came out.
Let me tell you why it's pure bullshit. You don't think he tried on that fucking suit before?
No.
My brother.
And
you don't think they got to measure that suit before he puts it on and everything? You don't think they had to have showed him that suit how it is? You don't think as soon as he put on that damn suit in that locker room, he didn't feel that heavy?
That's what I'm glad.
Boxers are the most uncomfortable people when they're making weight and they're about to fight. So I know for a fact when he did like this, oh, somebody was trying to put it on him because they had to put the gloves on him first and everything. So he didn't put it on himself. So someone would help him and me would have been picking it up on my cousin. I'd have been like, yo, this shit heavy, bro. Why is you wearing this shit to walk outside? Man, fuck, oh, let's go and fight, man. Forget about this shit. You won't come out like this because this shit too heavy. Put it on, you'll see. Once he felt it, you right, let's take this off. He still walked outside to be a showman. Didn't complain about it now. Get your ass whooped. Want to complain about it, want to blame everybody else. Listen, my man, as a man, you got to take.
Chico.
I'm a Deontay Wilder fan too, brother. Chico. But I got to call bullshit when it's bullshit, man.
I was happy when that story came out because when we were watching that fight, at any point did you say, yo, he don't look like himself?
Negative.
Okay. I did. Like, yo, that's
when
not...
When he started fighting, and I saw that, But let's be for real.
Hold on, Chico. He looked lethargic. I'm like, yo, is this kid drugged? I couldn't understand, like, why does he look this way? This is not the bronze bomber that we all come to know and love. What is going on? So when that story came out, I was happy. Finally, an explanation. Chico, it wasn't an excuse to me. It was an explanation. Working in professional sports, you deal with these folks with kid gloves. You the boxing mind, you would know better. The day before the fight, I think somebody from his team said, hey, Deontay, your suit is here. I don't think he tried it on. I do not. And if he did, I don't think it had all the batteries and the lights and the trinkets. Now, we get to the main event. Chico, you know better than anybody. The show goes on. It's showtime. The lights is on. So he puts it on. Shit, ain't no turning back now. Damn.
Take that shit off.
He got it on for 20 minutes.
Take it off.
The suit has some Black History connotation. He wanted to be some suit of Black Panther.
Look what we're going to do. We're going to bring back a little conversation we just had. You so used to being regular, people standing in front of each other. Why he didn't come out like Tyson with no goddamn shirt on, let's get ready to fight. Forget about the suit. Once he put it on, he knew that shit was heavy.
Chico, you know when you got your mind made up, like this is what my walk is going to look like.
Don't blame nobody else then. Blame yourself.
He ain't blame. It was just an explanation.
He blamed the suit. He blamed everybody. He didn't blame his fucking self. Think about that. You gotta blame himself.
It was just an explanation.
But he could have came out like Tyson with a towel. Let's get ready to fight. Because at the end of the day, that suit is not fighting. You are. Like I tell C's every time. I tell Sessa, the clothes don't fight. You do. Don't give a fuck if you come out there with the shorts. Yo, with poom poom shorts. You still gotta fight. So
Chico, Chico. Hold on. You never had
to tell that man in himself in front of him. You could have came out with a towel and was ready to fight. You felt that bitch and you still went outside it. Come on, brother. Come on, bro. Come on. Let me for real, man.
I know what it is to have your mind made up on something. Like, yo, you got some sneaky.
Oh, so you know you got your mind made up and they're going to tell you you're going to get shot through there. Don't walk there because you got your mind made up. You're still going to walk through there and get shot. And then you're going to blame somebody because you got shot? No, no, no. I told you if you walk through there, you're going to get shot.
I was happy that explanation, not excuse. I was happy it came out.
Excuses, not explanation. Let's call it like it is. Excuses.
He looked drug, Chief.
Oh, he looked drug like what? Someone gave him something?
That wasn't the same guy. The energy wasn't there.
Oh, so someone inside his camp sabotage is balding, everything like that.
No, the suit was the reason. Was the suit? It came out after the fight. It was the suit. Now let me ask you, the postponement. What effect does that have on the fight?
What?
The fact that it's being postponed. You expecting the fight July 24th? You in camp.
Sometimes it's better for you. You got more time to train.
Better
sometime
for who?
Sometimes it's not good for you because
it could be a letdown.
It could be a letdown because you was already set up to fight
for sure
that day. Now it's a late back. It could be, you know, it could work on any favor, like more training time, more. Remember, and this is Deontay that we've seen using his jab combinations and training and stuff like that. So a little extra time is not bad.
Okay.
Tyson Fury, that's what we used to see him do. Boxing, everything like that. Do I think Deontay Wilder got a chance in this next fight? Oh, definitely. He had a chance in both fights. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got the X factor. He has that power that could change a fight.
At any moment.
At any moment. You know what I'm saying? You could be beating him 10 rounds. And he crack you with the right hand and you down. That's it. Oh, fight is over. Oh, but I was beating him. That's not good enough. Mm. But that suit stuff, we're going to stop that. We ain't gonna do that. Because clothes don't fight. You do.
Clothes don't fight.
It's only three people in that ring. The referee, you, the opponent, and my best friend, the canvas, the ring. Ring never lies, man.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, yo, I've been running. I've been doing this. All the fighters, I've been running. I've been doing this. Yeah. My friend will let me know today.
We'll see. We'll see.
And then one or two rounds, I put my ears to the floor like this. I say, you know what? You know what my friend just said? Ooh, who's your friend? The ring. You know what he told me? Bullshit, you ain't running. You ain't doing nothing, but look at you tied in two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't hide the sun with your hand. Cause you could do it like this, but when you go, it's still there, bro.
Yeah.
It's still there. You can't lie to yourself, man. If you want to do something the right way, you can't cut corners, man. And you can't blame nobody, man.